I have a question to ask each one of you here this morning. What does the name of the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? What does the name of the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? Today we're going to look at many different scriptures, or look into the scriptures and see the many different names of Jesus Christ. And when we look at these names and titles used of Jesus Christ in the Old and New Testament, we see something of who Jesus Christ is. Now, during the Christmas season, the world often thinks of Jesus Christ as only a baby in a manger, don't they? It is true, Jesus Christ came into the world. He veiled his glory and humbled himself to be born as a little baby. And this was tremendous love on his part, wasn't it? To be willing to take this humble position among sinners like us. Scripture says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Just think, the God who created the world humbled himself and came into this world as a little baby. Many people, though, like to stop there with their thinking of Jesus. They like to keep Jesus in a manger. They like to see him in the manger. You see, a baby in a manger is easy to respond to, isn't it? I've learned from our little Esther, where is she? She's, oh, my dad has her. I've learned from our little Esther something. She seems to be the attention of, you know, everywhere we go. People love babies, don't they? I've seen people with sad, long faces, and when they see Esther, all of a sudden they start to smile, and they laugh, and their countenance changes, and they start making gaga goo goo noises, all kinds of different things. Well, Jesus in the manger, with Jesus in the manger, people sometimes do the same things, don't they? It's almost as if people want to only experience Christ, the Lord Jesus, when he's in the manger. You see, the baby in the manger can't tell us that there's something wrong with our lives. A baby in the manger can't tell us that we're on our way to an eternal lake of fire. Baby Jesus in the manger is not an offense to many people. But Jesus on the cross is an offense to people. Why? Because when you search the reasons to find out why he suffered and died on the cross, you find that he was punished for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the whole world. The cross becomes an offense to us, doesn't it? You see, we have guilt before a holy, almighty God, and every person must do something with Jesus Christ. He is not someone you can just ignore. You can't ignore him, because there's a day coming when at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To ignore him now is to reject him. And for someone to continually reject Jesus Christ when he gently calls, and he does do that, doesn't he? He gently calls each of us. He loves us and he wants us to be saved. And to reject him, the one who's inviting us, means that one day, those people will meet him not as their Savior, but as their, what, their judge. Everyone here, everyone in the world is faced with the question, what think ye of Christ? We are given a lifetime to come to know him, to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And if we know him as our Savior, it will be a joy to see him someday, won't it? And we'll bow before him in worship. But for those who reject Christ, they'll see him only as a judge, only as a judge. What does the name of Jesus Christ mean to you? What does he mean to you? During this Christmas season, I think it's good for us to think on the names of Jesus Christ. His different names that we see in Scripture, and there are hundreds of names given to him. And we'll touch on only a few. And when you think of these names of Christ, we begin to know him and trust him. When we think of him and know him and trust him, we can't help but love him. And let's look into the Word of God. If you'll turn with me, first an Old Testament scripture that's common to us all, Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Okay. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." First, Isaiah calls the Lord, he says, Wonderful. Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. We often use this word when we talk of something that we think is really great and awesome and something that gives us joy and happiness. Well, Jesus Christ is truly wonderful in the fullness of that word. He's wonderful. And it goes on, says he's wonderful. His name is Wonderful Counselor. Everyone here likes to get good advice from people, don't we? And sometimes we seek counsel from people. And hopefully it's from a Christian who will point us to the Word of God. But people, even Christians, can give us bad counsel, can't they? But Jesus Christ is different, isn't he? Jesus Christ is the one who will never, that we can depend on. He will never lead us astray. He's the counselor that we can depend on. David, in one of his psalms, says, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." God is a refuge for us. You know, God is always ready for us. He's always ready for us to pour out our hearts to him. Do you know that he's never shocked by what we tell him? Before a word is on our tongue, he knows it all. It says in Scripture, the Lord will... it says this in Scripture, that he knows everything before we even say it, he knows it. You know, the Lord will never feel overwhelmed with our problems, no matter how big they are. We can pour out our hearts before him. Whether you believe him and trust him, if you believe in him and trust him, you can pour out your heart to him. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can pour out your heart to him too. He wants to hear. He wants you to pour out your heart to him. Because there's not a sinner in this world that Christ has not died for. There's not a sinner in this world that Christ has not paid a big price for. And he wants us to just pour out our hearts to him. Sometimes we may feel overflowing with his grace and mercy. Scripture says, "He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows." But you know, the Lord never gets overwhelmed by our problems. He's not limited. He's not limited like we are. And they can't be too big for him to solve. So believers, don't forget. Don't forget to pour out your heart to the Lord. He's our counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. And the scripture goes on to say, Mighty God. Mighty God. If anyone doubts the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, just bring them to this passage. Sometimes we run into people, or many times in Albania, that people that don't believe that Jesus Christ is true God. Or they might believe that he's God, but he's a little lower than the Father. Kind of a little bit inferior. But here this passage said, Mighty God. He's the God who created this world. Mighty God. And Jesus Christ, when he was here, he said, I and the Father are one. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he's our mighty God. And it goes on, he says, Everlasting Father. He's called the Everlasting Father. He's the Eternal One. Jesus Christ is one with the Father, isn't he? He said, I and the Father are one. And then we go on, it says, Prince of Peace. Now we have peace with man, and we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians it says, For he himself, that's speaking of the Lord Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Now the biggest discrimination that has ever existed is between the Jew and the Gentile, isn't it? The Jews hated the Gentiles and the Gentiles hated the Jews. They didn't get along with one another. But in Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ, those barriers are broken down once and for all. And so people who normally could not get along with one another, they're one in Christ. And if those barriers are broken down among the Jew and Gentile, how much more all the other barriers that exist, whether it be racial, whether it be someone's, we don't like someone because they might look a certain way or they might act a certain way. All the barriers are broken down. And we are one in Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. So he's the Prince of Peace, and Jesus Christ does this. Jesus Christ makes us one. And he also gives us peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sinful man has a way to approach a holy God. And it's through the Lord Jesus. We have peace with God. Let's look at another name of Jesus Christ in Psalm 3, verse 3. Psalm 3. Verse 3. Psalm chapter 3, verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I'll read that again. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Here's another name for the Lord Jesus. He's our shield. He's our shield. We can hide behind him when we are under attack. The Lord is our shield. He's our defender. We trust him by faith. And he enables us to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Then this verse says that the Lord is my glory. In Romans we read, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we don't measure up to his holiness, do we? But he is our glory, and each believer can say, Jesus Christ is my glory. Then the verse ends with another name. It says, the Lord is my glory and the one who lifts up my head. You know, our heads hang low in despair because of sin. But in Jesus Christ, we can hold our heads up high, can't we? And he has lifted us out of the pit of sin. Have you been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you can say that Jesus Christ is my glory and the lifter up of my head. Let him who boasts, boasts in the Lord. Now, there's no one else like Jesus that's worth boasting about. John the Baptist knew this, and he said of Jesus, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Let's not forget that the baby in the manger in the Christmas manger is our shield. He's our shield, our glory, and the lifter of our heads. Let's continue with some more names of Jesus Christ. At Christmas time, we not only think of a baby Jesus in the manger, we think of shepherds that heard the message of the angels that in the sky that Jesus had been born. But Jesus is also a shepherd. Jesus is a shepherd. It's another name for Jesus. Jesus says in Scripture, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. What does a shepherd do? What does a shepherd do? He takes care of the sheep, doesn't he? And Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd. He protects the sheep and was willing to give his life for the sheep. And how did the good shepherd give his life for us sheep? How did he do it? Well, he saw that a sacrifice needed to be made, didn't he? He knew that sin needed to be punished, but he was not willing that any should perish. He wasn't willing. So as a good shepherd, he did the unthinkable thing. And Jesus, the good shepherd, became like one of us, yet he was without sin. The good shepherd offered himself as one without blemish and without spot, as our substitute. The good shepherd was now the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He who knew no sin, he had done nothing wrong. He had done nothing to be deserving of death, of punishment. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He allowed himself to bear the title sin for those moments on the cross. Why? Did he become a sinner? No. He didn't become a sinner. He was still the one who had no sin, but on the cross he was being judged in our place for our sins. Jesus Christ was our substitute. He died in our place, and he was punished in our place. Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ truly is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it's not just covered up, is it? For someone else to uncover later on. It's removed from us. In fact, the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Are you burdened down with some sin? Do you think that God can't forgive that sin? Let me tell you that Jesus Christ paid for it. Jesus paid it all. And there's not one sin that you could ever commit that Jesus Christ is not paid for. And he longs for each one of us to come to him. He's just waiting for us, kind of tapping his foot, waiting for us to come unto him. He says, come unto me, all you who are weak and weary, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. That's what Jesus Christ wants to do for each one here. Because there's not one here person here that's not a sinner that doesn't need a Savior. He's paid the price, hasn't he? He's paid. When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. The work was done. Now he invites us, come. Come, believe on me, he says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says, and thou shalt be saved. So Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He has some other titles in Scripture. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus Christ did not stay in the tomb. We can't go to his grave somewhere. He is the resurrection and he is the life. He rose again from the dead the third day according to the scriptures. Jesus rose from the dead and now offers life. He offers life. eternal life to whosoever believeth in him. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. In 1 Corinthians 15:45 it says, "The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." Jesus offers life, eternal life, to all who will receive him. He is the life-giving spirit. All who trust in Christ are said to be in Christ. That is our position. And it's a nice position to be, isn't it? It's a wonderful position to be in because he is our hope of glory, the scripture says. And Jesus has also become our life. And the Lord promises us in scripture. Scripture promises, it says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we also shall appear with him in glory." And until that day when we see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face, he continues to shepherd us. He continues to be our shepherd. The scripture says he's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And the Lord continues to be that great shepherd of the sheep, as told to us in Hebrews 13. And he's also the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5, where he gives encouragement and exhortation to all elders who shepherd his flock, to shepherd the flock of God among them. And they're not alone because they have Jesus Christ, and he is the chief shepherd. And the scripture says, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." This Christmas, when you look at the nativity scene, well, be at someone's house, maybe you have one in your house, and you see the cute little baby Jesus in the manger, remember that he's much more than that, isn't he? We looked at a few names. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is our shield. He's our glory. He's the lifter of our heads. You know, so if you're down and blue this Christmas, let Jesus lift up your head and behold the Savior. Behold him and see how much he loves you. Because Jesus Christ is also, we said, the Good Shepherd. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the resurrection and he's the life. He's our hope of glory. He's our life. He is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He's the great shepherd of the sheep and he's the chief shepherd. And he is so many more things. We've just touched on a few. There are hundreds more in Scripture. So what does the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? What does he mean to you? I pray that each one here would know him as your Savior, as your Lord, as your Redeemer. I pray that we all continue looking into his Word to continue finding out more about him and his many names. May the name of the Lord Jesus Christ continue to have the first place in our thoughts and that in all things he might have the preeminence. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for loving the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. May this truth be spread throughout the world, and especially, Lord, in our own families. We pray for anyone here who does not have assurance of eternal life. Help them to understand that Christ died for their sins. Help them to understand that Christ rose from the dead. He's the resurrection and the life, and he offers them the gift of eternal life. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.